Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller and Davis Rangy, overtime. Man, Florida fans, beat writers, they're shook.
They are. It's kind of alarming to see. You know, it just feels like something's off. It's almost, like you said, too good to be true, because I don't think this has ever happened before.
No, and it's like you expect something to happen. It's like I don't even know what to compare it to. It's like your mom says you're going to have a pizza party, but you never get the pizza party.
Right.
You're going to have the pizza party, but you're never going to have the pizza party in your mind, right?
Right.
Out of the past 17 times that you've asked, you've only gotten one. And then this next one. Okay, this is going to be a big one. This is going to be a big one. You don't believe it. Like, you're so beaten and battered down, you don't think it's going to happen. And then you see the order. You see the app notification. It's like 17 pizzas. It's like, oh, man. No, there's no way this is happening. This is too good to be true. This is way too good to be true. And there it is. Now we got to see if the 17 pizzas get delivered.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. I mean, eventually it has to balance out, right? That's just the way, that's the way the world works. It has to balance out. And I think this Saturday, man, this is the most confident I've felt going into Florida week. Usually my heart gets in the way of my brain. Usually during Florida week, I'll say, man, I think we have a chance. My brain's telling me, you know, there's no chance. But this time, man, it feels like my brain is the one telling me, you're going to beat Florida. And my heart's just trying to, like, think of every which scenario in which we can lose this game. But
now it's flip-flopped.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's complete opposite of what I'm used to. And, man, the more I think about it, I see a very good chance of us going out and just steamrolling them.
And if we do, I mean, here's the thing. You know, we're not doing a show tomorrow. We will not have overtime tomorrow, but Friday – I'm going to be at Hops and Hollers. Davis is going to be at Hops and Hollers. Lowe is going to be at Hops and Hollers. And Christopher Gabriel is going to be at Hops and Hollers. I'm going to be more animated then than I've probably ever been, you know?
Mm-hmm. It just – I don't know about you, but, just being around campus, I know I'm on campus every day right now, but it just feels like with Danny White and this new athletic department, there's just a different kind of swagger and, demeanor about it all. They're just very confident. I saw Jake Crane earlier talking about it on Twitter, but we kind of slowly shifted from not even expecting anything to expecting to win the games. Not just be in them, but expecting to win. And we're slowly getting back to Tennessee being back. And, man, this Saturday would just be a massive, massive step towards that.
Absolutely. And – you know, I'm kind of right there with you. A part of me wants to sit here and say, oh, well, look at what's happened. You know, you look at the past, however many Gator quarterbacks it's been since Tim Tebow left, that they've played awful through the first two or three games until they play us. And then they have a career game against us.
Jeff Driscoll, Treon Harris, Felipe Franks, Will Greer.
The only one that didn't was Austin Appleby.
Yeah, and he was the backup, right, to Luke Del Rio. So he was the backup coming in here, and he shred us the first half. So,
oh, it was awful.
Yeah. I mean, even in 2016, the very first drive of the game, they went down and marched and scored a touchdown immediately. I think, 3 minutes into that ball game. And all I could think was, here we go again. And – man, I pray we just score first on Saturday. That would just set the tone.
I mean, we need to come out and do exactly what we did against South Carolina. I mean, it needs to be a colossal beatdown.
Gosh. That...
but don't let them score 20.
No, yeah. I can't even, I'm just trying to comprehend. 28-0 in the first quarter against Florida. Forget borderline dangerous. It will be dangerous in there.
The foundation will be shaking. And if you're not able to get into the game, they are having a watch party in the Vol Village, which I assume is still at Circle Park.
Yeah, I think that's what it said on the tweet, next to the communications building.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. We have reached a level to where fans are so excited about the football program again that we can't fit them all in the stadium for one. That's step one. The fact that we are having a watch party outside of the stadium, to compensate for those who are not going to be able to get in but want to be down there and be a part of that atmosphere. That says a lot.
It does. It just kind of reminds me of the baseball season. Remember, I think it was either this summer or past, but they had that huge watch party on the street.
Oh, right, yeah, with a lady smoking the cigarette in the front row.
Yeah. I just remember during that tweet, I remember Dondi tweeted it out, a picture of that, and the first reply under that was, "You think this is good? Wait till football gets back." And a year and a half, 2 years later, it's back. You'll see that on Saturday.
Took a long time for it to get here. Now, we said 2 weeks ago that if we beat Pitt, that we weren't all the way back, but we were pretty damn close. Mm-hmm. If you beat Florida and you beat them bad, you've kicked that door down.
Absolutely.
You're in the room, and now you just got to go get it.
Yeah, you're in. You beat Florida. I mean, I don't even care if it's a beatdown, but you beat Florida, you win Saturday, you go to 4-0. You will be in that top 10. The rest of your games, man, besides Georgia and Alabama, you can run those. You can run every single one of those. You can finish the year 10-2 with a Sugar Bowl appearance most likely. And, man, you can finish 11-2 possibly in that top five, top 10 at least, 10-5 yeah. range to finish the year.
Well, I mean, this is why the playoff system that I wanted to implement would work. I mean, even in the 12 team that they've got proposed coming in 2024 is what they're trying to do. If that is the case this year, Tennessee's a part of that conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, I've just looked at the standings the past few days, and it just seems unreal that we're ranked number 11th in the country. Like, it just doesn't feel real. But, I mean, I do think that might be just a case of how good Alabama and Georgia is, and then there's just everybody else. But I do think it is a good – just a – I guess in a sense a reward of how fast and how quick we've come in such a short amount of time, that it's just a reminder, man, like, you just get the right coach in here, it can soar off quick.
You can do a lot. All it takes is one coach, and we said this time and time again. You know, we didn't get what we wanted, and you don't always get what you want, but you might just get what you need. And I think Tennessee needed – some Josh Heupel. Hopefully that quote does not come back to bite me. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
Skybox Sports.
Fan Run Radio. Overtime continues. Did you hear Scott's call on the drive?
No, I did not. I was busy earlier, so I'm about halfway through the second hour.
So, bottom line, Florida fan called in.
Oh, okay.
And Bear started agreeing with him.
Oh, gosh.
He is so confident. This guy, Scott, he's so confident. But he's so dumb. That's the bad thing about it. He's just that dumb. He's, like, not even paying attention to the 10-point spread. He's not paying attention to the fact that they literally have no depth. He is paying no attention to the fact that Anthony Richardson has zero touchdowns. And the only touchdown pass that he threw was to the other team. He refuses to acknowledge any of that.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw this today, but Billy Napier talked about Jack Miller, their backup quarterback, a little bit.
Saying, yeah, everyone's been mistaking him as Jake Miller.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, you can start me. Yeah, Billy, if you want to start me, I'll throw on the jersey.
Yep.
I might be throwing to the guys in orange, but you can start me.
All-time scandal there. But, yeah, I mean, I just thought it was interesting that he brought him up, because it seems like ever since Anthony Richardson, he hasn't been running the ball much, because, you know, there's been rumors that he's been a little bit injured, hobbled up.
Right.
So, if we get a big hit on him, I just thought it was kind of interesting how he brought him up kind of unprovoked. Kind of gave me the sense that maybe Richardson is – nowhere near 100%, and if he gets hit, then I don't know. They may try to have to put Jack Miller in the game, and if that happens, I know we've seen backup quarterbacks in the past torch us, but if they have to resort to putting in Jack Miller Saturday, I think just all hell will break loose, and we're just going to run up and down the field on them.
No. Here's the thing. Yes, we have made multiple backup quarterbacks for Florida look like Heisman candidates. We have. I mean, there's no denying it. Those are also Florida teams that had depth.
And were just, like, better overall teams than us.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And I think, realistically, if we're being completely honest here, Florida is a more talented football team.
Yes.
I don't think anybody's going to argue that. However, Tennessee is a better team. The schemes are better. The system fits the players.
It's just not all about the 24-7 talent composite ratings. I mean, if it was, then we would see Texas A&M being in the playoff every year. But it doesn't work that way. I mean, we have a great point that schemes matter. Meshing together as a team matters. Catching a rhythm matters. And the scary thing is we haven't even caught our rhythm on offense yet.
No, that's the thing is I don't even think we've had to open up the playbook. I mean, even against Pittsburgh. You think we opened up the playbook against Pitt?
We were trash in the third quarter on offense.
I don't think that we opened up the playbook.
I don't either.
Because, I mean, there was nothing extravagant.
Mm-mm.
There was nothing out of the ordinary that we saw. It's like the same stuff that we've seen, you know, for the past 12 months now, I guess.
Yeah, and something I was thinking about earlier is, you know, whenever we get the ball on the near side of the hash, the far hash, close to the sideline, we just run that quick out to Hyatt every single time. You think Florida's kind of – my thought is, like, what if Florida's kind of preparing for that? Because it's pretty obvious we do that. We either run it or throw that quick slant out to the sideline. But
right.
I think Heupel may have to, like, scheme up a little bit, have a different route, somebody different you got to throw it to, knock them off their heels a little bit. Because, yeah. I mean, we can't just go all basic Saturday. We have to, like, throw in something in there.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be something happen, and – something's happening with our phone lines. I got someone telling me they're trying to call in, but I'm not getting a ring. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Hopefully get that figured out soon. But we keep talking, and the more we talk, the more I'm convinced that we are winning this game. I was at about 95% anyway. Like, there was only a 5% chance of me that was like, no, we're still going to do something to Tennessee. Vols are going to Vols. But now I'm sitting right there at about 99%. I'm like, there is absolutely no way in the world, unless we have 10 injuries, that this is going to happen.
No, and it just seems like we've just been kind of preparing for this as not only as a team and a program, but as a fan base for the past 2 weeks. I mean, the Akron game was literally a dress rehearsal for this Saturday. We sold it out. We sold out Akron, of all teams. And we ran up the score 63-6. It was pretty
good.
A pretty boring game besides them playing dirty. I mean, we just did our business. But, man, I mean, I don't know when it hit for you, but my confidence was kind of, all right, we're winning this game. Like, Saturday night after watching us play and then watching them play USF.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, that's the thing is they almost lost.
Yeah, they should have. Or at least gone to overtime. I mean, Florida, that's another thing that I know Tennessee fans, and we've gone through in the past against Florida, but their luck is just out of this world. I mean, they got lucky against Utah, Cam Rising throwing a stupid interception when they could have just easily settled for a field goal to go to overtime. And then this past weekend, snap goes way over USF quarterback's head, kind of puts them in a risky field position where they're too far kind of for a field goal. And then the snap on the field goal, the guy's holding the ball sideways. He kicked the ball sideways.
Hey, kicked it basically laying down.
Yes, and he still almost made it. But that's just the thing. Florida gets the – just seems like they have the most luck out of any team I've ever seen.
They do. And unfortunately, that's just something that's never going to change in my mind. All right, let's go to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Tanner is up first. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? It's – man, can it not be Saturday already? This is killing me.
I mean, you and I have something different to do on Saturday.
Oh, I know.
And we have people in our friend group that are somehow convinced that we're not winning this game. Like, full-blown convinced that we don't have a chance.
Yeah, I don't know about not having a chance, but, I mean, it's just that, you know, it's just the same old every year. This week brings out the same things. It's what we bring up all the time. It's the battered ball syndrome.
I mean, it is what it is. I've got it. You've got it. Davis has got it. Everybody's got it. We've seen it. We've seen it happen multiple times. But, Tanner, those who look only to the past or the present are certain to miss the future. Name that video game.
I feel like I should know this. I'm blanking.
Black Ops 1, the zombie scene in the Pentagon.
Ah, the numbers, Mason. What do the numbers mean?
Oh, my goodness.
It was a good era of gaming, wasn't it?
Oh, it was the best.
A
lot better than what they just put out, at least.
But going back to old Gator fan Scott's call earlier, that Tri-Cities bumpkin, not to disparage the Tri-Cities. Can you blame it for being confident, though, Jake?
Well, Tanner, here's the thing. Yeah, it's happened. It's happened before. You know, and I can deal with somebody just not knowing how the game works. I can't deal with somebody not having common sense, and that person has no common sense.
Yeah,
because, I mean, common sense would tell you that when you look at how we are ranked defensively, how we are ranked offensively, compared to how they are ranked offensively and how they are ranked defensively, you know, numbers don't lie. And, I mean, regardless of how their season turns out, I mean, Pittsburgh played us tight. We don't know if they're a good football team yet or not. Yes, they were ranked. We know that. But how good is Pittsburgh football? We're not going to know that until the year shapes up more. Florida played a Utah team that was probably very overrated and then gets beat by a Kentucky team that Tennessee's probably going to beat. The FBI is giving us the higher percentage chance to win, or high percentage chance to win that game as well. You know, and this is a game this weekend where we were given at first a 78% chance to win. That is now bumped up into the 80s. And there's a reason those numbers keep going up, and that's a reason that the spread went from opening at 5 to now at 10.5. There's a reason this stuff is happening.
Yeah, it just makes me a little nervous with the expectations. I'm not used to them. I mean, I'm really not used to this football program having expectations. It's been a minute, but I don't know. I'm just trying to make, you know, realistic sense of everything, just because, you know, think of all the different Florida weeks we've talked ourselves into, you know, thinking we win and how many near misses we had. I mean, if you really look at, you know, since Florida's really, you know, recently controlled this series since the mid-2000s, I mean, how many games have there been where we were the better team?
There's 2006 comes to mind. I mean, that was a one-point loss.
2015,
2014. Yeah, that one's another one that comes to mind.
Really, team in 2016, of course.
I mean, you could almost argue 2012. I mean, we had the better team, and we just let that one slip away. 2011, if Justin Hunter doesn't go down, what happens? You know, we'll never know. But there are so many times, I agree, that we should have won the game. 2017, another one. Should have won that game. But I know what's happened, man. I know that the past has not been kind to us with this game in recent memory. And you and I grew up at the same time, Tanner. We know Casey Clawson is not walking out on that field. We know that James Banks isn't going to be there to catch a Hail Mary. But I think that we're going to take what we got, use it to the best of our ability, and I think we're going to win by a lot.
I hope you're right, man.
And somebody's going to owe me lunch, by the way, and you know who it is.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know 100%. I'm your witness on that one. I hope you're correct. I hope it's you know, something we don't have to worry about, because here's the thing, too. If that opponent that we're playing isn't wearing orange helmets with script gators on them, I'm viewing this like I was viewing South Carolina last year. Like, yeah, we'll win this game. They might make it, you know, a contest, but, you know, we should win this game by, you know, at least a touchdown plus. But it's just, you know, it's the psychological factor as a fan. But then again, my emotions swing the other way, saying, well, you know, as long as the team doesn't have that mindset, then who cares?
I mean, you're exactly right.
It's not gonna matter.
Yeah, and yesterday, I'm sure you saw this too, but Jimmy Himes asked Trey Flowers, you know, Florida's won 16 of the last 17. Like, basically, what do you think about that? And his response was, well, we'll see Saturday. So, I mean, I love this team's attitude. They got a little bit of quiet confidence.
Yeah, that's good. I don't blame him for being confident. And, you know, going back to what we're going to see Saturday, now it's looking like Cedric Tillman's probably not going to play, which, you know, of course, sucks. You know, that's that's one of the reasons why I can't, you know, fully commit to, you know, being confident, just because, you know, that is the, I mean, he is the best wide receiver in the conference. He's one of the best in the country. That doesn't do you any favors losing him. But on the flip side, you know, Ventrell Miller's probably not going to play for Florida. That's the heart of their defense. That's their middle linebacker.
And they're going to start a true freshman.
And Anthony Richardson, like y'all mentioned earlier, like he is not 100%. He is not 100%.
No.
Think about how much they barely ran him. Florida's offense is really hinging on that little staple running backs they have, in which they got talent. One of them, some, you know, Trevor Etienne, Travis's little brother. You know, they got some talent there, but
Jansen Jackson's cousin.
I'm confident in our run defense, guys. I mean, I really am.
I'm 100% confident in them. I mean, that's going to be the key to this game. If we can shut down the running game, we might beat them 45-3. I mean, I'm just saying. If you can shut down the run game, you might win 45-3.
It's a little much for me. I'm not going to go there, but
there's going to be a couple of people that are really mad at me on Saturday for my overreaction to it, but, you know, way she goes, right, Tanner?
It's the way she goes, and, hey, I'll give you a little – you mentioned 45-3. I'll give you a little bit of, you know, statistical history here. However the game goes about for this result to happen, if Tennessee gets more than 45 points on Florida, Jake, you know, that's going to be the most we've ever scored on them, ever.
If we put 45 up?
If we put more than 45 up. That 45 is the most we've ever scored against Florida in the history of this series.
Yeah, that was in 1990 when Dale Carter ran the ball back on the opening kickoff of the second half.
Let Jimmy Holiday or Squirrel White house one. Go right ahead, and you watch that. You watch the south end zone upper deck pretty much collapse.
Well, it'll speed up the renovation process.
All right. Well, we'll see how my mental state fares throughout the week. I'm sure it's going to be completely peaceful. Y'all have a good rest of your show.
And I will be there to motivate you on Saturday. Let's get Daniel in here next. What's up, Daniel?
How y'all doing this evening?
Doing good.
You know, it just feels different. This game just feels different.
It feels like we're going to go out and beat the brakes off of them. It really does.
And I'm going to tell you something, Jake. You know, I've said it, I was at that 2015 Oklahoma game. And I always said it, that was the game you have to win to be back. But I believe that this is kind of a similar situation. I think it just projects you, pole vaults you into success. And, like, I mean, man, it's just, there's so much riding on this game. And we have been prone to fall at this position, but I just don't think it's happening this year.
No, I don't think it is either. And, you know, you mentioned catapulting yourself, pole vaulting yourself into the national spotlight if you win this game. If you come out, it is a beat down, like you beat them, like they are the proverbial government mule. You've kicked down the door,
and
you're in the room. You just got to go and get it at that point.
And like Daniel said, that Oklahoma game, I was there also. That environment is something I'll never forget. But we were up 17-0. If you get up like that against Florida, you cannot let up like you did against Oklahoma. Keep pouring it on and on and on.
You're so right, Davis. But here's the thing: we're not going to, because Heupel has proved that when he's up, he stays up.
You're right.
So, and that's the difference, because I sat in that stadium and I surrender Cobra for 15 minutes after that game was over with. I've never, like, that was also the game when I lost all hope for I ain't gonna say his name.
Yeah.
But that was the game when I checked out.
So did I, man. I sat in my seat for about 30 minutes after the game, just staring at the ground.
Dude, and I sat in BB row 2 and I was just miserable. And I said also at that point, I would never let them bother me like that again.
Yep, so did I.
And where are we at 7 years later?
Same spot.
Guys, on the way out, I know you're off tomorrow. We'll be back on Friday. I can't wait. Let's go out. And this game has so much riding on it, and we are built to handle it. You all have a good night, and GBO.
Appreciate it, Daniel. Great call. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
So you're watching the game.
Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Jake Miller, Davis Rangy. Another hour and 30 with you here on these airwaves. A little bit off topic. We smelled burning when we came into the studio today, didn't we, Davis?
Yes, we did.
I called the fire department exactly an hour ago. Where are they? The fire's out. We're safe.
Lost, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I gave him the address. Anyway, back to sports. Phoenix Suns, the Phoenix Mercury, owner Robert Sarver, selling both teams. He had already been suspended for a year and got levied a hefty fine, if I remember correctly.
It's $10 million and a one-year suspension.
And he has just decided to go ahead and sell both teams.
Yeah. I saw that, man. The stuff he did in the past was pretty bad. I don't know. He did get some pressure from people like PayPal, who is one of their biggest. Because they're so big, they're the sponsor on the jersey. So it said PayPal.
Yeah, you got to pay a lot of money for that.
Yeah, and they were willing to pull their sponsorship if he didn't sell the team. And other people like LeBron, their own point guard, Chris Paul, Draymond, they're just pushing for him to sell. And he finally looks like he's going to. But, yeah, man, it's just a wild story. And I mentioned PayPal, but it looks like the PayPal guy is going to end up possibly, I think he might end up buying the team because he's worth $3.2 billion and Sarver's only worth like $800 million. So I don't even know how Sarver had the majority in the first place.
I mean, if PayPal buys the team, I just hope their communication is better than what it is with eBay.
I hate PayPal.
It's
a disgrace.
Not fans of PayPal here on Overtime.
No.
If you can't figure it out already. Now, my question is, what do they do? Like, is he going to sell it as a package deal, or is he going to have to sell them separately? Because obviously there's a big market for the Suns.
Exactly.
Not as big of a market for the WNBA team.
No, yeah, I think it'll come as a package deal. I mean,
they play in the same arena.
Yep, and
same concept for both teams.
You're kind of like getting a loss with the WNBA team because they actually like it costs the NBA money to even have that league operating. So the owner might take a bit of a hit getting that in. But I mean, the Suns are a very attractive team and organization to buy. So I don't think they'll have any trouble getting a new owner. And yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's been a wild NBA headline the past few weeks.
That it has. And unfortunately, we've had some bad news out of UCLA today. Former basketball player for UCLA has died. 22 years old.
Sad.
Did you see that headline?
Yeah, I saw it last night at about like 2 a.m. Yeah, I don't know. Rest in peace. I didn't really know him or knew watch him play or anything, but I watched UCLA. I don't really remember him, but I mean, rest in peace. It's always sad when someone around our age dies. So
that is, and it's so weird to me because, like, you know, growing up, you know, it's like, oh, well, this 25-year-old, 26-year-old, 30-something-year-old, this person has died, they're passed away, whatever. And now it's like, wait a minute, these guys are younger than I am now.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to think, I'm about to be 28 years old, and I'm seeing these guys that are younger than me dying, and it's just like, wow. It's like, look at how much more in life I have had the pleasure of experiencing than they did. It's like they can't experience anything else, obviously.
Yeah, no, it hits different for sure. I mean, that guy is only 1 year older than me, so I'm going to be 22 in December, but it is just wild, man. It's sad to see, but I mean, things happen. They all happen for a reason, but yeah. Can we move on? So I hate talking about this stuff.
Yeah, we can talk.
Sad.
Talk about something else. We can talk about Justin Fields and how he has taken a shot at the fans.
I saw that. Not very smart, is it?
No. And we've had a couple of former players that have said stuff like that have been like, oh, well, you guys aren't on the team. It doesn't mean anything to you. Why do you care? You're not on the team. It's like, well, listen, you know, at the professional level especially, the people that are in those seats, the people that are buying merchandise, the people that are paying for the NFL Sunday ticket, that way they can watch you, people that are paying for cable subscriptions, YouTube subscriptions, whatever it may be, those are the guys that are making sure that you get paid.
Exactly.
Like, it's not just this random amount of money that just comes out of nowhere that allows you to get paid. No, that money has got to come from somewhere. And if that money's not there, guess what? You don't have a job. You got to go get a real job in the real world like the rest of us. And it's not fun.
Yeah, I don't think they really – some NFL players don't understand that. That is how you get your salary, the fans showing up and supporting you. And, I mean, just bring it back to the college level, I mean, none of us like him here, but Shane Beamer, I saw a clip, and he did make a good point. He said, you know, these fans, I know, they come out here every Saturday. They come and support you. They make a sacrifice. Like, these tickets aren't cheap. They're taking time out of their day, out of their weekend, spending money to come watch you play. And – I think that was part of tied into their performance against Georgia. But, I mean, yeah, you got to think about it. Like, they're not just there to bother you and bug you. Like, they want to see you succeed.
Right. I mean, that's like NBA, same thing. Like, is it weird that I see more NBA players complaining about fans than I do any other league, college or professional?
I don't know. The players in the league today, I mean, some of the things, I don't like load management. I hate load management. Despise it.
It's not good for basketball.
No, it's not. It's especially with the stars. I mean, if you have somebody like a role player, load manager, but that never happens. It's only the stars for obvious reasons. But yeah, I mean, we got to do better. The fans love you. They write your checks for you.
Yeah.
So
without the fans, you don't have a job.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, you're getting endorsements from Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, Puma, and whatever it may be. Yeah, you're getting those sponsorships, but guess what? If those fans don't put their ass in a seat, they don't buy concessions, they don't pay for parking, they don't buy the merchandise, you're not getting paid.
And what have you done, Justin Fields? Exactly, what have you done? This is not like Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen saying this. This is a guy who
just got in the league.
Just got in the league last year. He was trash last year. Looks like they're going to be trash again this year. So you really have no room to talk, man.
No. No, and that's one of the things, I guess, that aggravates me the most about some of these athletes that we see is they have this level of, oh, well, why is this guy talking to me? I'm who I am. Yeah. It's like guys that never grow up.
You never see guys like Tom Brady or even any veterans in any league taking shots at the fans because they get it. They understand like what we just talked about. So, yeah, there just needs to be more of maturity like across the league. And I don't know. We talked about it, I think, what's today? We talked about it Monday, but the new rule the NBA passed that you can now be 18 and go into the NBA, just skip college. That's going to bring even younger people in the league. And we'll see. Sounds like you hate that rule, but – you know why it was put in place.
I know why it was put in place.
Yeah.
I know why it was put in place, and to a degree, I get it. But at the same time, like, I don't know. Basketball is one of those things to me. I feel like it's – and we'll get into it in the next segment, but I feel like it's kind of gotten ruined more over time to the point where it's more about what happens off the court than it is on the court.
Yeah, I think – honestly, I don't want to sound like an old guy here. I am – only 21, so I'm not taking a shot, but just like social media and the clout chasing, that's a huge part of it now.
Yep.
Because you see guys like Mikey Williams, they're not even in college yet. I feel like that guy's been in high school for 10 years, but he has like a Lamborghini and all his cars. Like, they have no ambition. I mean, what's the point of going out and busting your tail and working every single day if you already have it made? You have like over $1 million in deals, and you have all the cars, the jewelry, the clothes, all of it. So, like, it just kind of, like...
what's the point?
Yeah, it defeats the purpose of the grind, all of it. So
that it does. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Welcome back. Final segment, hour number one of overtime. Jake Miller, Davis Rangy. We're talking a little bit about the NBA and how they've moved the rule back to where you can be 18 again and enter the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not comfortable with that, man, just because not everybody – everyone's got this mindset, and it's worse now than it's ever been of people in their camp telling them, oh, well, you can be the next LeBron James. you can be the next Michael Jordan. You can be the next Steph Curry. You know, LeVar Ball, well known for that. The thing is, it's like two of his three sons made it to the NBA. I mean,
he was successful.
He was very successful with his plan. It worked. Lonzo's a good player. LaMelo's a good player. They're not great players, but they're good enough to be in the league. LaMelo might have a chance.
LaMelo will be great. Lonzo's a little injury prone now. He's getting surgery on his knee again. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. But
change your name to Alfonso on the count that you've been damaged goods for the past 2 years. I can't believe he said that.
I don't know, man. I'm just trying to think because I wasn't alive for the 90s. You don't really remember it either, I'm assuming. But, like, all I hear from old heads and stuff is about how the 90s was great because you had young, like, more developed players coming in from college. And, you know, they had to stay 3 years. And so they were more developed. Their body was more long. Their skill was better. But, I mean, if you want to bring it to a good example in today's game, I mean, my Grizzlies. Like, if you look through every single one of their – the players that they draft, even if they're not first-round picks, Brandon Clark, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks. I mean, we can go on and on. Ja. I mean, none of them were all either any one-and-dones. They were all under-recruited guys, stayed in college for a few years, and now they're one of the best teams in the league. So
yeah, I mean, and they're fun to watch. I mean, that's the biggest thing, you know, with my kind of allegiance to the Grizzlies, in a sense, is, you know, they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
My favorite team in the West. I'm in my favorite team in the East. Boston, you'll always have a place in my heart. Speaking of Boston, one of their biggest fans, let's get him in here. Martin is up next. What's up, Martin?
Not too much, Jake. I'm kind of worried about that game Saturday.
Why are you worried, Martin? We're a 10.5-point favorite. We're going to go out and we're going to win.
Yeah, but we got to worry about that quarterback running on us. That's what got me worried.
At some point, I was thinking the same thing, Martin, but you look at the reason I'm basing this off of my prediction is Anthony Richardson, the past two games, of course, he tore Utah apart. But then you look at what he did against Kentucky and then this past Saturday against South Florida, and it's almost like they were afraid to run the ball with him because they're afraid if he does get hurt that they have to go to their backup, Jack Miller, and he's not that good.
He's coming off a thumb surgery also, so he hasn't even been playing.
Yes. And did you see where Robert Williams III had surgery today?
I saw that, Mark. That's bad news. He can't stay healthy, can he?
I know it. They say it would be out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yep. Kind of like the Lonzo Ball thing I just mentioned. Same surgery.
Who do you think the Celtics should go after, if anybody? Have you got any idea? I don't.
Well, they just got Gallinari, didn't they?
Yeah, but he's hurt, too.
He's hurt, too.
Man. He's going to be out till the playoffs, maybe.
What are they going to do? There's not that much cap space left.
No, I'm trying to think, Martin. I mean, maybe you want to go out and sign Carmelo Anthony. He's still a free agent, but I don't think that really helps the Celtics because he plays no defense.
He can help us on the inside a little bit, though.
Yeah, he's got good size.
Yes. I sure hope we beat Florida, man. It took me to death before no.
It'd be awesome. And then in 2 weeks, Martin, if we're 4-0, we got another big test ahead of us, and we might be Hawaii 5-0 going into the third Saturday in October.
Yes. But anyway, I appreciate you boys. I just going to call and check in with you. Wait, what'd you have for supper?
Oh, what did I have? I've not eaten yet, but I'm going to go home. I've got me a chicken Alfredo calzone.
I had hot dogs tonight.
I love a good hot dog. There's nothing better than a good hot dog.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you boys. I was just going to call and tell you about my Celtics. I'm not sure who they'll get, Jake.
I'm not sure either, Martin. Hopefully we'll figure it out here in the next week or so.
All right. I appreciate you boys.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Martin doing his thing.
No need to stress. The Celtics will be fine. I love the Celtics. That's been my favorite team, besides the Grizzlies, of course, since I was young because of the big three with Paul Pierce, KG, and Ray Allen. But
oh, they were great.
My favorite team, man. But
I got one for you. I was a Celtics fan when they had Antoine Walker.
Yeah, it's a blast from the past. But no need to. The Celtics would be fine. Tatum's one of the best players in the league, in my opinion. He's top eight for me, but yeah, they'll be all right. No need to worry.
And I figured, you know, the fandom for you would be a little bit easier with the Grizzlies, you know, being from that area. But for me, and it's the same way with the Titans, you know, I've been alive longer than those franchises have been in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, the Grizzlies moved in 2001, so they've been around my whole life.
Yeah.
That's all I've known. And I am a Titans fan. I used to go to all the games. Used to have season tickets with them, but yeah, Titans look ugly right now. I'm not going to lie. Look lost.
Things are not looking good in the mid-state for them.
I don't know what they do besides fire Todd Downing immediately, but I don't know.
Who knows what they'll do? Do you think that Tennessee will ever get its MLB franchise?
With Nashville, how fast Nashville is growing, mm-hmm. I think it's possible.
And then you would almost have to do a trade with the AAA teams because Milwaukee has the Nashville Sounds.
Yeah. I always thought the Nationals were going to get the Rays because I've always heard – I've never been to a game at – it's at Tropicana Field, right?
Oh, I've seen the videos and
– it's disgusting. It's just
– it's terrible. And, I mean, when you've got more opposing fans in the arena or in the dome
mm-hmm.
than you do your own fans, the food's not up to par, the seating's not up to par, the baseball team's not up to par, it's time to get out. It's time to find new life.
And I don't even understand why they have a dome. You're in Tampa, Florida. Like, it's beautiful year-round. I don't get it, but.
I mean, at least Miami, they only sold it out one time, and that was on opening night when they first opened it. They had the right idea. I'll give them that.
They did.
Hour number one in the books. Hour number two of overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.